The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it was definitely a weird weekend of football, that's for sure. I mean, like I said, you know, the first 4 weeks of the season are probably going to be weird and shaky for some teams, but damn, we got a couple of teams that are starting the season off 0-2 that I don't think any of us really thought they were going to be there, but here they are. Now, I'm not writing some of these teams off just yet. I mean, we are so early on in the season, but of course, there's a few terrible teams, and one team actually already made a move today, one of those terrible teams, and we'll get to them when we do, but wow. So yeah, it was definitely a weird weekend of football, some weird wins, some weird losses, but let's go ahead and start with the terrible game, at least on one end here, between the New Orleans Saints and my Dallas Cowboys. I'm not sure the Cowboys were aware yesterday, but there was a game yesterday. They got smashed 44-19, and it was not close from the jump. I mean, the Saints came right out, first drive, drove right down the field. Basically, the Saints scored on every single drive up until about the fourth quarter. Yeah, I think it was the fourth quarter where the defense finally decided to show up, and they were able to snag an interception. But at that point in the game, it was pretty much donezo. I mean, they could have started to make a comeback, but I'm going to keep it real. With what the defense was putting out on the field yesterday, there was no coming back from that. First and foremost, let's talk about Alvin Kamara. I mean, I feel like not only the Cowboys forgot about him, but not a lot of people have been talking about Kamara in the offseason, really anything to do with the Saints, and I think Kamara is going to have everybody talking because the dude scored 4 touchdowns yesterday. And he pretty much single-handedly owned the Cowboys yesterday. You get the ball to him, and he was just running them over. I mean, it was up the middle. It was to the side. It was 955 yards down the fucking road. I mean, this guy just, he demolished the Cowboys defense. The Cowboys defense did not show up at all yesterday. And I put all the blame on the defense. The offense actually went out and did their job. And then just once the game wore on, you could just tell it didn't matter how many points the offense was going to score. The defense was not going to be able to stop what the New Orleans Saints were doing. So the New Orleans Saints have had pretty much a perfect 2 weeks to begin the season. So they're pretty much like the only team right now that I would say who has had a flawless, perfect beginning to the season offensively, defensively. Quarterback looks good. The coaching looks good. Alvin Kamara is a beast. They got Olave having a good season. The defense, it's just, I mean, the Saints team is looking pretty damn fantastic right now. And I picked them actually to win their division, but I think a lot of people were overlooking them and kind of forgetting about them. I'm like, nah, this team's going to put it together. And that's what this team has done, is put it together. But the Cowboys, the defense was embarrassing. So hopefully the Cowboys just as a whole team take that type of loss, because it is only week 2. I know everybody's got to be on the crybaby train immediately, but not me. It's week 2. I already knew shit was going to be sloppy, and quite frankly, I'd rather have this kind of loss in week 2 rather than towards the end of the season in a game that matters more. But I look at this as you take this ass whooping, you learn from this ass whooping, and then you take it into next week. But that was pathetic from what the Cowboys defense put out on the field yesterday, but amazing from what the New Orleans Saints did as an entire team these last 2 weeks, but especially yesterday in absolutely dominating fashion. Then the surprise of the day, I should have taken this game. I even said it. If there's going to be one game that has an upset this weekend, it's going to be this one. And it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Detroit Lions. The Buccaneers held on to get the win 20-16. They pretty much had the lead the whole way through. It was pretty much all Bucs all day. You know, Jared Goff threw a couple interceptions. Baker Mayfield, he was on his ass a lot yesterday. Hutchinson had 5 sacks. Was it 5 sacks or was it the defense as a whole? Regardless, the Lions defense had Baker Mayfield on his ass all day. So shout out to Baker Mayfield for his team to still get the win because he is probably hurting today. But the Bucs got the big win 20-16 up in Detroit. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers just were able to run a steady course. They pretty much just ran behind Josh Jacobs all day. He had 151 yards on the ground. Romeo Doubs caught a couple of passes. He had 62 yards. And Malik Willis was just able to game manage this game for them, and the Packers got the win over the Colts 16-10. The Colts don't have a lot of offensive firepower, it seems. They're just a very odd team so far. It is still week 2, so who knows? Maybe they'll find their way at some point. But, I mean, I pretty much expected them to beat the Packers. But the Packers were just able to ride Josh Jacobs. Malik Willis, just they didn't make too big of a game plan for him. The defense held it down. So Packers got the overall team win and a big win over the Indianapolis Colts. Then the New York Jets were at the Tennessee Titans, and the Jets just hung on to the win 24-17. Aaron Rodgers finally gets his first win as a New York Jet. He actually had a couple of touchdowns in the game. But, man, you look at the quarterback situation on the opposite side of the ball here. And, you know, I don't like to go at quarterbacks too early on in their career because Will Levis is only going into his second season. But you look at him and you're like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You know, the last game he threw like the world's most horrendous interception of all time, and even he said so. And then in this game, he had the stupidest fumble, and it was in the red zone. It cost his team some points, and his coach ripped him a new one after the game. So I don't know what's going on with this guy, but I mean, he cost his team potentially a win because they were in the red zone, and it was a dumb fumble. It wasn't like, oh my God, here comes the defender with his hand and knocks it out of his... No, he like was trying to do this stupid Superman play where he just like, oh my God, here's the ball, and it didn't work out for him. It's like, dude, you're not Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes wouldn't have done it in that situation, P.S. Mahomes would have done it in a much more appropriate Mahomes situation. But Will Levis, he's got to learn how to hold on to this ball and take better care of the football because the Titans actually would have 2 wins if it wasn't for his 2 bonehead mistakes. Well, actually, he's had quite more than 2, but 2 super costly mistakes. So the Titans could easily be 2-0, but they are 0-2. Then another surprising game, the San Francisco 49ers at the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings handed it to the Niners 23-17. They were in full control of this game all the way to the end. The Niners did make a little bit of a run here in the fourth quarter, but the Vikings staved them off. The defense had a pretty solid game. The Vikings had like a 97-yard touchdown pass, which was crazy. Justin Jefferson had 133 yards and a touchdown. But Jordan Mason for the 49ers, because the 49ers are going to be missing Christian McCaffrey at least for the next 4 weeks, potentially longer than that. But their backup, Mason, stepped right in the role. He actually had 100 yards and a touchdown yesterday. So the Niners didn't have a terrible game. It's just the Vikings were able to clamp it down defensively and just make the big plays when they needed to. And then offensively, they had a couple of big plays and just were really able to get the scores. And the Vikings are 2-0, and the Niners lost a tough one up in Minnesota 23-17. Then we had the Seattle Seahawks at the New England Patriots, and this is actually a battle all the way to the bitter end. The Seahawks ended up getting the win 23-20 in overtime. Geno Smith had 327 yards and a touchdown, and DK Metcalf had 129 yards and a touchdown as well. And the Seahawks were just able to make the bigger plays in the end and hold on to it in the end. And the New England Patriots, even though I expected them to be one of the worst teams this year, they actually have a little bit of fight in them. I don't expect them to be a playoff team by no means, but they definitely look a lot better than some teams are displaying, at least so far in the first couple of weeks of football. Then we had the New York Giants at the Washington Commanders, another close matchup, but not really shocking because these are two division opponents, and when it's a division opponent, it's never shocking when it's a battle to the bitter end. Now, it was a very, very weird game. The Giants actually ended up losing their kicker at the beginning of the game, and so they were not able to go for some extra points at certain points in the game. And so that kind of cost them this one. The Commanders did get the win in the end, 21-18, on a nice game-winning drive by rookie Daniels. And then Robinson Jr. also had a good game, 133 yards on the ground for Washington. And then the Giants, they've been terrible on offense, but this game, not too bad. They actually were able to find a pretty decent receiver. He had 127 yards and a touchdown. Neighbors. I don't know if he's going to be able to be consistently good because the Giants are terrible. But, you know, they showed a little bit of spark even though they're 0-2. But the Commanders did end up getting the win 21-18. And the Giants are 0-2 on the season right now. And look pretty bad at this point in time. And I would not be shocked if Brian Daboll ends up being the first coach fired this season. You know, it's only week two. But I look at the Giants and I'm like, man, this team is terrible offensively. And Daboll was supposed to be there to help out this offense. And so far, they've been pretty awful under his tenure. Then we had the Los Angeles Chargers at the Carolina Panthers. And the Chargers smashed the Panthers 26-3. Justin Herbert had a solid day, 130 yards through the air and two touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins, he just signed on with the Chargers this offseason. He was taken over for Austin Eckler, who had a very productive career as a Charger. Well, J.K. Dobbins, in his first two career games as a Charger, has gone for over 100 yards in both games. This game, he had 131 yards and a touchdown. And then Johnston, their receiver, he had 51 yards and two touchdowns. So this Chargers team really put it together offensively. They did have some help, though, from Bryce Young, from the Carolina Panthers. He has looked horrendous these first two games. I mean, he looked terrible last year, but he does not look like he has grown whatsoever. And today, the Carolina Panthers have made it official. They are benching Bryce Young for Andy Dalton, which I feel like is a good move. He is actually the first rookie or the first overall pick to get the quickest leash, or I mean the quickest yank out of the game. And I think part of the reason why is just because he is so terrible. He is throwing some of these, some interceptions where you're just like, dude, what is that? So they're going with Andy Dalton, at least for now. I would guess Bryce Young's time in Carolina is probably done. I don't know for this season. I would imagine they're probably going to keep him for the rest of the season, especially if something happens to Andy Dalton. They're definitely going to need some type of backup. But I kind of feel like maybe potentially he could be trade bait for the for around the trade deadline, because there are teams now who could use a quarterback, but also teams who could potentially want to maybe take a risk on him. But so far, he really hasn't looked good. And, you know, you never know. He could go to another situation and actually thrive. But I kind of feel like the Bryce Young experiment is over in Carolina. And what a waste, because they actually had a shot at C.J. Stroud. They had a chance between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. And I knew at this time in the draft, C.J. Stroud was the better one, quarterback between the two. Not even just based off of size, because that's what most people are looking at, Bryce Young, his size, and that's not it to me. It's just straight-up quarterback talent. C.J. Stroud is a prototypical quarterback, and we are seeing that in each and every game. Whereas Bryce Young, he needed the right system. He needed the right coach. And unfortunately for him, he went into a system with a erratic owner who just straight-up fires his freaking coach, like, within 5 seconds. Doesn't even really give him any time. He hasn't given any type of... He just hasn't given any time to anything. And so I kind of feel like Bryce Young got a raw deal. But at the same time, the dude does not look good. So we'll see what happens in Carolina. But they already took Bryce Young out of the game. And Andy Dalton is now the starter for the Carolina Panthers at the quarterback position. Then we had the Cleveland Browns at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And speaking of struggling, that would be the Jacksonville Jaguars now because they are 0-2. The Browns walked into their stadium and beat them 18-13. Now, it wasn't a barn burner by any means necessary. It was really just the Browns plugging away and actually just being the better team on the field. The Jaguars, I do not know what's going on with this team, but that's just kind of how it is with them. They have never been consistent, and so far, they have yet to show any consistency. And here they are at 0-2 and look pretty terrible as well. I mean, they just weren't able to muster up any type of offense yesterday. And they look pretty terrible to start the season. Then another weird-ass game yesterday. The Las Vegas Raiders at the Baltimore Ravens. The Raiders beat the Baltimore Ravens. They walked into Baltimore and got the win 26-23. It was slim pickings for scoring at the beginning of this game. They went into halftime 9-6 Ravens. And then all of a sudden, they finally started to score a couple of touchdowns here and there. And then the Raiders just started to get going defensively. Then offensively, they put it together. And they were able to put together a couple of drives. Hell, even Davante Adams had what you would call a Davante Adams has taken over this game. He had 110 yards and a touchdown. So Davante Adams went off. And that's usually good things for any team that has Davante Adams on their team. And the Raiders, they got the win, the surprising win in Baltimore. And now the Ravens are a shocking 0-2 to begin the season. So we'll see what they got from them. If that's just a fluke, kind of weird way to start the season, or if the Ravens just really aren't that good. Then we had the Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. And in a shocking turn of events, it was all Cardinals all day. They scored 41 points on the Rams. It ended up being a 41-10 ass-whooping from the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray went off. He had 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. He essentially had a perfect passer rating for the game. James Conner also went off. He had 122 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And then Marvin Harrison Jr., he was nowhere to be found in game one, but in game two, he had 130 yards and 2 touchdowns from Kyler Murray on the day. So Arizona Cardinals put together a really, really excellent win over their division rival Rams. Then we had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Denver Broncos. This game went exactly as I expected. The Steelers got the win 13-6, and it was just one of those ugly-ass games. Bo Nix was throwing terrible interceptions yesterday. And the Steelers were finally able to score an offensive touchdown, so congratulations to them in that regard. But I still think there's a lot of questions about them in many ways. But, hey, they're 2-0, and their defense is holding it down. I mean, this defense ain't nothing to fuck around with. If they were able to just have even a halfway decent offense, the Steelers would be a powerhouse of a fucking team. But, unfortunately, they have a pretty awful offense. So, like I keep saying, Steelers are going to win these ugly games if their defense is able to just prevent the other team from scoring any points. And, hell, they may even have to score some points. But offensively, these first two games have been trash from the Steelers. But, hey, they're 2-0, and they're winning. Then we had the Cincinnati Bengals at the Kansas City Chiefs. And this was a typical Bengals versus Chiefs game. It was a battle all the way to the end. I will say, though, the Bengals had the upper hand the entire way, pretty much. It started off close in the first quarter, and then the Bengals started to eke away, but the Chiefs hung in there. Their defense still looking stout like they were last year. Their defense really kept them in there, and especially on two of the drives, I'll say, actually. There was one drive where the Bengals had the ball, and they were driving. It was a third down. Joe Burrow runs for it, and he fumbles the ball. And at this point, the Bengals have a lead. I think it was 22 to 17, actually. Regardless, the Bengals had the lead. And they're driving, and Burrow has the fumble. The Chiefs pick it up, run it back for a touchdown, and all of a sudden, they got the lead. But then it would just go back and forth all the way till the end. Then we had a last drive here. Chiefs are at 4th and 16. And unfortunately, the Bengals made the stupid move of the day by an obvious pass interference, too. This is not one of those ticky-tacky, you should not have called that at the end of the game. This was the definition of pass interference. He cut off the dude's route, and when you do that, you're there too early. Sorry, that is a pass interference all day, every day. So unfortunately for them, that was another thing that cost them really ultimately in the end, because that put the Chiefs in field goal range. Harrison Butker came out, hit the game-winning field goal, and sends the Chiefs home with the win 26-25. The other drive that was after the Joe Burrow fumble was when the Bengals were driving again, and Ja'Marr Chase got pissed off at the official for which he thought was a foul, and it doesn't matter. He just went off on the official, got pissed off, and then he got called for a 15-yard penalty that pushed them back. So, you know, it's just stupid shit that like that cost them the game in this one. But, hey, you got to give it up to the Chiefs defense for sure, man. This defense is another silent but deadly killer, and nobody's really talking about the moves they made yesterday. But they held it down. And you look at it, too, man. Joe Burrow, he had a solid day, 258 yards and 2 touchdowns. Other than that fumble, he pretty much had a very solid day. He was really keeping it in line for him, for this team, especially because he was running around a lot. That offensive line was having major, major issues with this Kansas City front seven. So the Kansas City Chiefs defense, I think, really just held it down for them, because actually Patrick Mahomes had statistically one of his worst games of his entire career yesterday. I mean, it was a struggle for him. He really got lucky on that last play, actually, as a matter of fact, on the 4th and 16, that he was just lucky that, it was a pass interference call, because, you know, if you really look at it, the receiver probably would have caught the ball, because it was a nice pass, but you never know. But the Bengals made the big mistake, and, the Chiefs walk away with the win. And the Bengals are 0-2, and the Chiefs are 2-0. Unfortunately, though, for the Chiefs, they did lose Isaiah Pacheco to an injury yesterday in the fourth quarter. Looked like he got rolled up on his leg. Turns out it is now a broken fibula, or a crack in the bone in the fibula. He's going to be out at least the next, I think it was 4 to 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, something like that. He's definitely going to be out the next month and a half for sure. So we'll see if that hinders the Chiefs at all, but probably not, because they're the Chiefs. And then Sunday Night Football was kind of a snooze fest. It was actually just a defensive battle between the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. Both of these defenses just held it down last night. Gotta say, Caleb Williams had his welcome to the NFL game for sure yesterday. He was getting smashed left and right. The two quarterbacks that probably hurt the most today, Baker Mayfield, Caleb Williams. The only difference is Baker Mayfield sitting on a win, Caleb Williams and sitting on that loss. And that's a hard loss to take, too. He had a couple of terrible interceptions. You know, he's a rookie, though. He's still got a lot to work on. And I mean, really, this defense just killed him last night. But on the other hand, the Chicago Bears defense did the same exact thing. They really held C.J. Stroud in check for the most part. I mean, he still had 260 yards and a touchdown. But overall, this was not an offensive game in any way, shape, or form. It was pretty much field goal central. Ended up being 19-13 Texans. But, I mean, Caleb Williams got just smashed on multiple occasions last night. So he's definitely hurting for sure. But, I mean, C.J. Stroud, he was running for his life yesterday. He had some interesting moments. And then also, too, there was a couple of times where in the red zone they made some mistakes. So the Texans still have some things to clean up. But, I mean, last night's game was a defensive battle between two crazy defensive teams. And I got to say about the Chicago Bears, I thought their defense was not going to be good at all this year. And so far, defense for the Chicago Bears looks pretty goddamn stout right now. All right, moving on to Monday Night Football. In tonight's matchup, we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite. The Falcons, they are still finding themselves. They coming off of a terrible loss last week. The Eagles, I think they're going to have their struggles, but I still think they're going to be a better team than the Falcons. The Falcons, first of all, Kirk Cousins is their quarterback. And if you don't know, Kirk Cousins plays terribly on primetime games, and it's Monday Night Football, so that's a primetime game. He is awful on primetime for whatever reason. I don't know what the correlation is for him, but he plays terrible in primetime games. So I'm honestly expecting this to be really just a Philadelphia Eagles domination tonight. It's their home opener. Saquon Barkley had a huge game last week, so I wouldn't be shocked if he has a huge game this week. And I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I definitely think the Eagles are just going to control the tempo of this game, and I think they're going to have the lead probably the entire way through. And I have the Eagles winning 24-14. And then with my head-to-head matchup with Simon Ruvalcaba, he also has the Eagles winning tonight 26-17. All right, moving on to my top 10 MLB power rankings for the week. We are getting closer and closer to the playoffs. We only have 2 weeks left of the regular season in baseball, and it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. We actually have one team that is super close to clinching their division. That's how much of a lead they have right now. So let's get right into it. At number one, the Philadelphia Phillies, overall record of 90-59. They are the first team of the season to hit the 90 wins mark, so that is huge. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Mets, and this team looks poised, primed, and ready for a championship run. They do not look like that slumping team a few weeks ago. This team looks stacked. Their starting pitching is back in order. The bullpen, I think it's better, but that would be their weakness. But offensively, look out for this fucking team. So the Phillies, number one with a bullet, and I don't see anybody coming close to the Phillies. As a matter of fact, if you were to ask me who I'm picking for the World Series right now, it is the Phillies, because that's how complete of a team I feel they are. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the New York Yankees. Overall record of 87-63. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Kansas City Royals and the Boston Red Sox, and they are back at it, and it's because Aaron Judge is back at it. He had a huge slump. I believe it was a 16-game streak where he did not have a home run, and that was the biggest slump of his career when it comes to home runs. But now he got back at it with a huge grand slam over the Boston Red Sox earlier in the week, and then they just, you know, they really have taken care of business over the last couple of weeks, and now here they are. They look like a much better team. I don't know how consistent they're going to be. I still have a lot of questions about them and their consistency, but their bullpen hasn't been as shaky. The starting pitching's been better, and the offense has been a lot better as well. And not only just Aaron Judge, but Stanton, he's starting to have his moments. Volpe's starting to look a little better as well. And then, of course, Soto, he's still out there doing his thing. But then also Jazz Chisholm. He finally has had a good week of baseball as well. You know, he really hasn't looked the same since he suffered that injury, a month or so ago. So he really hasn't looked the same, but this past week, he finally started to get going. He had a game winner last week. And then also on the Triple Crown watch, Aaron Judge is two behind right now. He's batting at .321, so he's .10 behind Bobby Witt Jr., who's batting at .331. And then Luis Arias of the San Diego Padres, he's batting at .326, I believe. So Judge is still hanging on in the batting average area, but he is still mashing it with the 53 home runs, 132 RBI. He's head and shoulders above everybody in those departments. But as long as he stays hot, I feel like the Yankees are good, because that was when they were slumping. When he was down, they were not looking too good. And now that he's back at it, I think the Yankees are going to be back at it and probably going to take this division. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 88-61. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got beat by the Chicago Cubs and the Atlanta Braves. They did get some bad news this week as well. It looks like Tyler Glasnow is done for the season. He will not be coming back even at any point in the playoffs. If they make the World Series, he will not be there. And that is a huge blow, in my opinion, because, like I said, with the Phillies, they are stacked. Not only just with offense, but they are stacked with pitchers. And you're going to need to have some starting pitchers go toe-to-toe with their starting pitchers and their batting order. And with no Glasnow, one of the strikeout kings of the season, I think that's going to cost the Dodgers at some point in the playoffs. They're obviously going to make it to the playoffs. They still have some questions about whether or not they're going to win their division, but I still think out of the teams in their division, they're the most consistent, they're the most reliable. So I still think they're going to win their division. But right now, Dodgers are not looking too good. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 86-63. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the San Francisco Giants and the Arizona Diamondbacks. And this team is actually the first team that's probably going to clinch their division, because right now they have a 10-game lead over the second-place team in their division. So they're going to be clinching any day now. They've actually been one of the most consistent teams all season long. I don't know how I feel about them winning a World Series, but I would not be shocked if they actually end up shaking up some shit during the postseason. But they're definitely going to be in the postseason, because a 10-game lead, they're going to be busting open the bottles of champagne here any day for that division win. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Houston Astros, overall record of 81-68. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Oakland A's, but took the series over the Los Angeles Angels. And their starting pitching is actually starting to look pretty solid as well. They've got Ronel Blanco. This guy, he's come out of nowhere. He was really just supposed to fill in for Verlander, and he's actually had one of the best seasons out of all their pitchers so far. He actually just pitched six shutout innings in a game earlier this weekend. So he's been very reliable offensively. They are still the Astros, and you got to look at the Astros and go, this is one of the most experienced teams, and they're able to always lock it in when it comes to the postseason. So I still look at the Astros as probably one of the biggest threats to make the World Series in the American League. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Baltimore Orioles. Overall record of 84-66, and they are 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Boston Red Sox and lost a series to the Detroit Tigers. And they are just falling further and further every single week in my top 10. And it's weird, because, you know, I expected a lot from this team. If I recall, I believe this is actually my American League World Series pick as well, just because I think they're a very solid team, but they are really slumping right now. That doesn't mean they can't put it together, but they are such a young team that I don't know that they have the experience to actually put it together and make a really solid run come postseason. But we do have 2 weeks left in the regular season, so of course anything can happen. But right now the Orioles are not looking too good. They're not playing any level of consistency, and there are a lot of questions for them heading into the postseason. Then at number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 85-65. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split the series with the Seattle Mariners and took the series. They swept the shit out of my San Francisco Giants this weekend. And the Padres, you know, they are a very good team, but until we hit the postseason, I don't know what they have. I don't know what they are, because they just always let us down once the postseason hits. So until they prove something to us, I can't really believe in them. But they do have really solid starting pitching, and they can score a lot of offense. It's just, are they going to be able to level up and play against a team like, I don't know, the Philadelphia Phillies? There are many questions to remain with that one. Then at number eight on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Arizona Diamondbacks, overall record of 83-66. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Texas Rangers and lost the series over the Milwaukee Brewers, but had a huge comeback win last night over the Brewers. And it was a crazy comeback for them. And that's what these Diamondbacks have. You can never, ever count this team out. That's why they're still in my top 10, because I look at them and I go, I feel like they're for sure making the playoffs. I don't know if they're winning the division, but they're definitely going to be a wild card team. And I feel like that is what they are, a wild card team, because you don't know what the fuck you're going to get from them. And who knows? Maybe they could just go on some run like they did last year and take out some people in the playoffs, because they do still have the majority of that same team from last year, plus a couple of other guys thrown in there, like a Jock Peterson, who, you know, when he was at the Braves a couple of seasons ago, when they won that World Series, he was a huge part of it. So that's a guy who could play a huge role on a team like this come playoff time. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 86-64. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago White Sox, but split the series with the Tampa Bay Rays. This team, to me, is just not consistent at all. I do think they're going to win their division because it doesn't look like the Twins and the Royals are going to be able to really put together anything these last couple of weeks. The Guardians are a better team than both of them, at least as far as consistency goes and as far as how they've played throughout the season. I mean, the Guardians have had the lead from start to finish so far, so I don't really see them losing it these last 2 weeks, but I don't see them as any type of threat. They don't, their starting pitching is just, it's Bibee, and they did call up some new guy who looked pretty solid, but is he going to be able to help them in the postseason? I don't know. This team has so many questions that I feel like they're going to be one of those one-and-done teams when it comes playoff time. Then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week of the New York Mets, overall record of 81-68. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Toronto Blue Jays and lost the series to the Philadelphia Phillies. One thing that's kind of hampering them down right now is Francisco Lindor. He is battling through a little bit of a back injury. It doesn't look like it's going to be anything debilitating for a long-term amount of time, but hey, man, the Mets are in a battle right now. And like I said, this is the last 2 week stretch. They are in a battle right now with the Braves and the Padres and the Diamondbacks for the wild card. Those are the four wild card teams right now. They are just rotating pretty much every single day. And in my opinion, it's already the Padres and the Diamondbacks, I feel like, got two of those wild cards on lock. So it's a battle between the Mets and the Braves. And so right now, to me, the Mets really cannot afford any type of injury, especially to Francisco Lindor, because he is having a monster couple of months right now. He is why they are playing so well. And then he's also why they're kind of starting to have this little battle between the Braves. So we'll see what happens if that injury ends up being something that lingers and costs them maybe a playoff spot. I don't know, but they don't need that kind of smoke with 2 weeks remaining in the season. All right, y'all. And before I sign off, don't forget that if you are into sports gambling, if you just go to katietrop.net, click on Sports Talk with Trop tab, and right at the top of that page, you will see a banner that says Sports Talk with Trop's preferred sports books. Click on that banner and you will find some sports books that I'm affiliated with. You can sign up for those and you can gamble your life away if that is what you are into. But yeah, check it out, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, y'all, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.